All right, good morning, Elevation. We're going to invite you to stand and we'll sing together. With God. We can meet God in any moment and in any place, but music helps us to prepare our hearts in a particular way. It bypasses our defenses and our judgments. It cuts through all the noise and the chatter that occupies our minds. It awakens our senses and touches places long forgotten. It clears a space for our battered souls to slowly, softly come out from hiding. And in the clearing, we recognize things that we haven't named or expressed. Things we are grieving, things we are celebrating, things for which we are longing. We're getting ready to hear from God. We're getting ready for Him to breathe life into these places. We're getting ready to receive His embrace. So as we sing, notice what you are bringing with you today. What kind of imprint has this week left on you? Maybe you've had a really good week and you're coming with a full heart, but maybe you feel tired, worn out, defeated. Maybe you're grieving losses, small or large, of plans, dreams, relationships. No matter what you're bringing with you, God has invited you to worship Him. What do you hope to find here today? As we sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," ask God to meet you in that. And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to
We've gathered here this morning as a community called together by God. We are here to respond to God's activity in our lives and recenter ourselves in the story of Jesus. Some of you are here for other reasons too, a spiritual curiosity, a longing for community, or maybe a restlessness in your soul. Whatever your reasons, you are welcome here. And we invite you to stand alongside us and imagine a world infused with the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to this place. So please make yourself known and have your way with us. Forgive us for the ways we have put other things before you this week. Have mercy on us and renew our faith this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Friends, you are welcome here this morning. Music will be our message and medium on this occasion, with the hope that you will feel or experience why music is almost always an integral part of our gatherings. Now, if you're visiting with us today, we should let you know that today will look, feel, and sound a little bit different than most Sunday mornings do. There are a lot of common pieces, of course, but a little bit of a different approach this morning. We are spending a few weeks reflecting on those pieces that are regularly included in our Sunday gatherings, and today we are reminding ourselves of the importance of music in the lives and gatherings of people of faith. Throughout this morning, the band will lead us into space for worship and guided reflection on the songs that we are singing. But not all good music contains lyrics. In fact, music itself is a wonderful gift from the Creator and deeply spiritual in and of itself. Instruments have always played an important role in worship. This morning will include trumpet and harp, which will help enhance our theme and also help bring to life the words of Psalm 50 that we just read. We will invite our ushers to come now, and they're going to distribute our offering baskets. Visitors, feel free to just pass this by. Regulars, feel free to contribute. Everyone, feel free to listen to the music that accompanies our time of giving this morning. Thank you.
And I drew the short straw to be the one to use words after that. Thank you, guys. That was powerful. That was beautiful. I have a couple of announcements to share this morning, and I'm going to invite Melissa to come on up. She has an announcement to share. Two things that are happening this morning as a part of our gathering and following our gathering. The first is that this is an Elevation Eats week. And what that means is that some families and some individuals in our church community have opened up their homes for lunch today. They have already prepared food. They've already got it ready. They just need their house to be filled up. So if you go into the gym, there are little tickets that you can get. There's a board. You'll see it just inside the door. And you can grab a ticket, and that just helps them kind of keep count of how many people will be coming. So they've already prepared it, and they're just looking for people to fill up their living room. So if you would like to do that following the service, we'd encourage you to do that. Great way to eat some lunch and a great way to get to know some people in our community. Also like to say that following the service at around 10:30 as we dismiss toward discussion groups, there's also an option for you to gather together for prayer in the upper room. And so out in the lobby, there's a set of stairs, and if you just kind of go up there, you'll find a room set aside for prayer at this part, at that point of our service.
Good morning. We are having a church baby shower next week. We haven't had one for a while, which is very unusual around here. If you're familiar with our church, we have lots of babies. So next week, we are having a church baby shower for Marianne Hunsberger, who's right here. Give her a little wave. And Marcia Connolly. I don't think she's here. But these two ladies are both having their first babies with their partners, and we are going to celebrate them. So even if you don't know them, feel free to come out. It's a great way to get to know people at our church. Also, if you want to bring some food, you can come talk to me. Or if you want to contribute for the group gift, come and chat with me today, because we're going to be purchasing those this week. So thank you very much. Hope to see you there.
So we're not able to have a baby shower for them right now, but I do have an exciting announcement that Jocelyn Apuenda, a member of our community, and his wife Noella have just announced the arrival of a bouncing baby girl. And so she does not live in this country right now, so we can't have that shower for her, but we're excited to announce that they are parents, so that's kind of cool. That was half of a clap. Tyler. For the baby, not for you.
That wasn't for me. All right, Shark Week. Famine Week. Not as exciting, but for the youth, they are going to be eating rice and beans for a week. Obviously, if you've done that before, it's not easy. So basically what they're doing is raising funds. I don't really know what for. Famine initiatives? Anyway, for 1 week, they're going to be eating rice and beans. If you donate, if you have spare change, Tim Hortons funds, mortgage payments you want to add to this, once we get to set goals, the youth will be able to add certain food items to their diet. Some other things like spices would help, beans and rice, likely. If we get enough money, maybe a piece of meat per meal. Fundraising is up to you guys and up to the youth to pester you guys likely about it. So open up your wallets and let the youth eat a healthy diet of beans and rice and a little bit more, hopefully. So that's happening starting next week.
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate that. Many years ago, there's a story recorded in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 6 and 7. I just want to read a few selected verses. It tells a story of a very exciting time in the history of God's people. For a long time, God's presence had been confined, if you will, to a space in a temporary dwelling known as a tabernacle. And finally, after many years and much expense, they had finished, under the leadership of King Solomon, building a temple. And this temple was going to be the place where God's presence would dwell on earth. A very exciting time for the nation of Israel. And I want to read just a few of the reflections of this point in this pivotal point in their history. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. He said, "Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. how much less this temple I have built. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. His prayer goes on. It's beautiful. It's powerful. He says, now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple. And so listening into this dedication ceremony of the temple makes you kind of shrug when you hear the words that Jesus spoke to his followers. When some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. Now, the original temple that Solomon had built had been destroyed, but they had rebuilt at least something that was similar, that was close to the original. And so his disciples are marveling at it, and Jesus turns around and says, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. This temple that Solomon dedicated to God, God's presence was going to dwell there. And Jesus just brushes it aside. Like, all of this is going to be torn down. It doesn't really matter. Why was he saying that? Why would he respond that way? Solomon asked a rhetorical question. Will God really dwell on earth with humans? Paul asked a couple of rhetorical questions of his own in 1 Corinthians, which give us a clue as to why Jesus was able to brush this off. Paul asked the question, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? This morning we're going to participate in a ceremony of dedication. And we're not dedicating a temple, acknowledging that God will descend from heaven and live in this one particular place on the earth, but we're dedicating a child and an acknowledgement that Lena Vandergrin is part of this temple in which God dwells. Not this building, but this body of Christ followers. And we dedicate her as a resting place for God where his Spirit dwells. And we believe that we have good reason to be thankful for that. So I'm going to invite Curtis and Laura and Luke to come on up along with Lena, and Melissa's going to join me as well. For those of you who haven't been here for a child dedication ceremony before, this is an opportunity for us to thank God for what he has done in the life of one of our young members. It's an opportunity for us to hear words of dedication from parents or caregivers. It's an opportunity for us as a church community to pray blessing over Lena in this case and over Curtis and Laura as well. Before we kind of read these responses, Curtis has some thoughts that he'd like to share. With a phone in one hand, a child in another, and a mic in a third hand.
Good morning. Today is a very special day. We thought it was appropriate to celebrate Lena's first birthday, that was yesterday, and her dedication this morning. As she tries to pull the mic. Luke, it was a dark and challenging time for our family 1 year ago. But just as the meaning behind her name, Lena has been our ray of sunshine. God has used her smile, laugh, and abundant energy to fill our lives with more joy than we could have imagined. In the same way as Luke, we recognize the incredible gift of raising Lena. We understand that this gift comes with significant responsibility. We promise to pray for Lena. We promise to do our best to model a life of faith and forgiveness as we parent her. We are here today to ask both our families and our community to support us as we walk alongside us on this journey together.
Thank you for sharing that, guys. All right, that's gonna be meaningful but quick. As Lena's parents, will you commit yourselves to teach her about the love of God and encourage her to pursue a life of faith? Will you strive to represent Christ in your home, setting an example for her to follow?
And as a family and church family of Curtis and Laura, will you commit yourself to support them in the high calling of raising their children? Will you lift them up in prayer and make yourselves available should they ever need to lean on you? We will.
And as the family and church family of Lena, will you commit yourselves to love this child and set for her an example of what it means to follow Jesus? Will you promise to care for her as a valuable member of our church family and help create an environment here at Elevation which she can grow in life and in faith?
We will.
We will. They may need to lean on someone in like 30 seconds from now. I'm just saying. Okay, we're going to pray. Why don't you just stand with me? We're going to pray together and bless Lena and Curtis and Laura and Luke as well. God, we are grateful for this family. We're grateful for the light that Lena has been in their lives, the response and the answer to the prayers that they have prayed, the blessing, God, that she has been as a little sister and as a daughter and as someone so important in the lives of many people. God, we pray your blessing over here, her. We acknowledge her as a temple of your Holy Spirit, as a place where you dwell, God, and we ask that you would always be close to her, that she would be aware of your presence with her all of her life, God. We pray for Curtis and Laura, and we ask for your blessing over them as they seek to parent her well. We ask that you give them wisdom and insight into her life. Patience. We ask for Luke, and we pray for blessing over him, that he would know how to be an amazing big brother to Lena. We ask that you would help him to look out for her and take care of her. God, we commit this family to you, and we commit Lena to you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You may be seated, and you may also be seated. I'd like to invite our friends Nikki and TK to come on up. They're going to share this morning. Nikki and TK are our mission partners of our Elevation community, serving with Future of Africa in Ghana. They have been traveling all over the world, and we are blessed to have them with us here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Well, thank you so much for inviting us to share our work with you this morning. Usually when Nikki and I tell our story, we talk about stories of the people that we journey with. But given the numerous stories we have and the short amount of time we have, we'll go straight into Future of Africa and share more about our work. But we'll be available after church just to share more about these stories if you're interested in them. Future of Africa is an NGO based in Accra, Ghana. Our focus is the thousands of children and youth, majority of them between the ages of 8 to 16 years, living in the streets of Accra. These young people are curious, playful, kind, courageous, hardworking, but broken. They are victims of physical, emotional, sexual abuse every other day. The young boys wipe dirty windshields at traffic lights and beg for money to survive. The girls often survive by exchanging sex for money. As an organization, we acknowledge there is something fundamentally wrong with this. We work with university students in Ghana to serve these street children and youth. Every week, we go into the streets of Accra to provide friendship, food, and healthcare to these young people. We provide for their immediate needs, but we are also invested in the education through our school in the Volta region of Ghana. Our long-term plan is to provide them with an education focused on total well-being and transformation. These children and youth that we see every week, they are the future of Africa, and we cannot afford to leave them behind.
So the conservative estimate is that there are over 65,000 children and youth living and working on the streets of Accra, which is where we live. But recently we were told that the more accurate estimate of children and youth living on the streets is actually close to 100,000. And I know numbers like that are really hard to compute in this age of being overfed really quick stats and facts in our news feeds. But the reality is that behind each one of those 100,000 is the story of a young, unique human being. And that fact can't escape us. Right now, Ghana is 4 hours ahead. The sun will be out, just as sure as Frederick, Yima, Maui, Trotro, Aggie, and so many more are out there right now roaming the streets, washing windshields, dancing, and begging for food money. Nothing prepares you for when an 8-year-old like Tete comes up to your car window when you're waiting for a green light, his little body weaving through rush hour traffic, pressing his forehead up against the passenger window and raising his little hands asking for money. The streets are home for Tete. It's all he's ever known. His mother is a sex worker at a different intersection, and his siblings work or beg for money just like he does. How do you foster a sense of worthiness or belonging in children that have been discarded? We believe it has a lot to do with prioritizing being present in their realities, listening to their stories, sitting with them in the chaos of their environment, and providing for their needs with things like food and healthcare, to hugs that mimic those of a mother. Tiki and I are learning it isn't about getting the kids off the street and putting them right into school. Although we so desperately want to swoop in and shield our kids from the harsh reality they are exposed to. Instead, we're learning how kids on the street are actually each other's family. It's what they know, and it's where they feel most comfortable. They have found home and community living in the street. In our work, the kids dictate to us what they need, and they set the standards for how we are to engage with them. We want to be a community that surrounds and supports them. So while our goal might be to help kids take control of their lives, we begin simply by caring for them where they are. This means, for us, going and spending time in their spaces, on roadways, under bus shelters, and sitting on curbsides, entering into and caring for them within their reality. The most difficult part for us is knowing that when we leave to go back to our comfortable home, our kids remain. They curl up together on pavement, sleeping in open air on thin pieces of cardboard. They are at the mercy of traffic, pollution, weather, sexual predators, vulnerable to the abuse doled out by them by passersby. A focus to my personal involvement on the streets has been healthcare, something I'm passionate about but not equipped in. I'm continually amazed by the resilience of our kids and the pain thresholds that these young people have. Most commonly, I see flesh wounds or STIs, and often malaria. Slowly but surely, I have been able to gain the trust of the kids we work with, and that's been a really important step. So every week, they line up to show me everything from knife cuts, cigarette burns, to rashes, and bumps and bruises that they insist are there, but I just can't always see. And I'm learning that every little bit counts. Every ounce of ability I have to clean and bandage cuts, I must use. Every chance I have to buy medicine or take kids to a clinic, I must act. I have been given the privilege of entering into their reality. I come from a country and I come from a community of, like Canada and Elevation. I have no excuse not to act when I have everything at my disposal. We share these realities with you, not to be sensational, but instead because stories of sexual abuse and violence are the most common stories that Tiki and I hear about, and we're trying to figure out what to do with them too. These stories are now part of our everyday reality. All of the young girls and young women we work with have all been sexually abused, just like all the children, boys and girls, can attest to being physically abused on a regular basis. Tiki and I know this is not the way things are meant to be, and we truly believe that this is not the way things have to be.
So it's very obvious that our children and youth are very vulnerable. Sleeping in the streets and being exposed to all the dangers meted out to them by people who walk past them when they're sleeping. Now, a part of the plan is to have a space we'll use as a community center, a safe space for them to come every single day to receive healthy meals 3 times daily. A space that we'll use as programming space to engage them in arts and crafts, music and dance, literacy, and other things to engage their minds and speak into their lives. This would be a safe space for all of them. And we are working in finding the space. We put together a budget of about $50,000 for 2 years to rent a space and find resources that we can use to invest in these children. This space will serve as a transition point between the streets and when we can put them into school.
So what we really want you to know is we've committed our lives to this, and we're just two imperfect and flawed people trying the best we can to navigate this path of loving the most vulnerable in our communities. We hope that you would consider supporting us as we continue this work, while you also find and come alongside communities, vulnerable people in your own communities right here.
Well, thank you for inviting us into these stories and into the life you've chosen. We'd like to pray for you. And as a church family, we've been standing quite a few times, but it seems like as a gesture that we are standing with you, why don't we actually stand again? And we are thrilled to be able to commission you to be your partners in this, and we're grateful that you are able to be present where we're not. We send our prayers with you, and they sound something like this. Lord, we believe strongly in your mission of mercy. We believe strongly that you are the creator of all, that you are good, that you are loving, and that when pain and brokenness exist in the world, that it breaks your heart. And we cannot in any way claim to follow you without following you into places of brokenness and hurt. And for Nikki and TK's commitment to be present with the hurting and broken children in Ghana, Lord, I would like to ask that you will channel your love through them to these kids. I pray that you will love Nikki and TK well, because the emotional drain that must face them every day is exhausting. And so we pray for their constant replenishment, for energy, for physical and emotional refreshment all of the time. And we pray that while they're in the midst of these loving actions, engaging in the mission of Jesus, that they also will have time to know and love each other well. We send our love and our prayers with them on this day, and we join together in doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much.
Well, feel free to be seated, friends, unless you're kids, and then you can come on forward. Come on, children, and any caregivers who wish to come forward as well. It's time for Kids Quest. It's time for us to say goodbye to some of the most energetic in our midst. So, kids, come on up here. Would you hold that for me, Alexis? Thank you. If you have money to donate, then you could put it right in this little offering basket that Alexis is holding. Lots of music and lots of praying in today's gathering. One more prayer right now for our kids. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much, and thanks for loving our children even more than we do. Amen. Kids, away you go quietly to your Kids Quest class. And everybody else, as the kids are departing, feel free to greet a couple of people around you, and our mingling time will be a little shorter than usual, so maybe only say hi to two people today.
Our scripture this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 and 15 to 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, to God the Father through him.
We've witnessed a child dedication today, and we've heard from mission partners. And just as we do mission in community and we do discipleship in community, worship is an essential part of our community life. Community can be a tricky thing. When we gather, we're surrounded by friends we love and by people who we don't always get along so well with. We're surrounded by people with whom we agree on lots of things, and people with whom we agree on very few. But this is the body of Christ with whom we are called to worship and serve. And when we sing alongside people who look, act, believe different than us, we're pulled out of a self-focus and invited to think more broadly about our community, our city, and our world. Singing together creates the possibility for bonds of trust and connection to form among us. And singing, it doesn't only unify us across this room, but across generations. So we're about to sing a very old song right next to a very new song. And when we sing ancient psalms or hymns written hundreds of years ago, we're reminded that the church is not tied to our time or to our place or to our culture. But we're part of a great body of believers, and we sing these words with them. Singing together is one of the ways that we receive our faith and we learn the story of Scripture. And as we sing old words and new words, I invite you to think about these songs as the stories of our faith family. So we'll invite you to stand again as we sing.
How precious it is.
Teach you a new song this morning, so feel free to listen for a little while first and join in when you feel ready. So our singing should capture the whole range of our experience of God. We have this rhythm, this ritual of being called to worship. We don't always feel like singing the words on the screen. We may not even be sure we believe the words on the screen. And our worship can feel inauthentic or uninspired in moments like this. But music can also be a vehicle to approach God in our darkest moments. And just as we can sing in celebration, we can sing laments. When Jesus is on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting King David in Psalm 22. A psalm is a song, and this psalm is the song of humanity. Jesus speaks the words of our song in the moment when he's experiencing the full weight of sin and suffering. He's letting us know that he understands what it means to be a human, suffering. So sometimes we sing in worship to be reminded that God is with us, even when we feel far from him. In the next song, we're going to ask God, if there be a victory, would you sing it over me now? Your peace is the melody. Would you sing it over me now? So if singing feels like a stretch for you today, you might choose instead to listen. Let God sing his melody over you and receive the words that we're singing on your behalf. When the pieces seem to shatter, to gather off the floor, and all that seems to matter is I don't feel you anymore. No, I don't feel you anymore. I need a reason to sing. I need a reason to sing. I need to know that you're still holding the whole world in your hands. I need a reason to sing. When I'm overcome by this waiting lasts forever, I'm afraid I might let go. Oh, I'm afraid I might let go. I need a reason to sing. I need a reason to sing. I need to know the whole world in your hands. I need a reason to say. If there be a victory, would you sing it all? Thank you.
the whole world in your hands. That is a reason to sing.
When we sing about who God is, we sing a narrative that is counter to our culture's narrative. We bring our own attitudes, beliefs, and decisions into question. The way that Jesus teaches us to love and forgive others goes against what I would naturally want to do if someone wronged me. So when we sing about these ideas in a gathering like this, those ideas challenge the way that we view the person singing next to us, and they challenge the values that we hold as a community. These ideas call us out on our idols or the things that get in the way of us loving each other well. Our singing is meant to shape and inspire our commitment to each other. So as we renew that commitment today, let's stand together to sing. The strides we've made, for all our blessings, we've fallen far away from truth, turning our face away from this hurting race. We turn our face away from you. We want to be your hands, your feet. Without words, we'll let our actions speak. For every broken heart, for every widow, for those without shelter from the rain, we lift our eyes to you, looking for answers. We have been called to ease the pain. We want to be your hands, your feet. Without words, we'll let our actions speak. We sing to spur each other on in the hope that God is the ruler yet and that he is redeeming all things. We carry these words with us throughout the week when we're faced with the brokenness of ourselves and our world. And we carry these words to remind us to notice the good, the beautiful, and the hopeful things around us. Wonders that will bring us back rejoicing next week.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's.
This was a good reminder of why we include worship, music in the worship of our gatherings. Thank you to all of you who led us this morning for your words, Ainsley, for all of the musicians, for the mission reminder that we got as well. And so we now are going to invite you to take your feelings and thoughts from this morning and gather around discussion tables. There are a few questions to prod your thinking as you discuss with each other how you have experienced this morning. And if you are visiting with us, just know that you can head out this door, find your way to the gym at the back, and we'll enjoy meaningful time together. We've had lots included in today's gathering, so we're a little late finishing and could use an extra couple of hands with our takedown at the front if you would join us doing that. Peace, my friends.